学英语六级考试全真预测试题一
Part 3 Listening Comprehension Section A
Directions In this section, you will hear 8 short conversations and 2 long conversations. At the end of each conversation, one or more questions will be asked about what was said.Both the conversation and the questions will be spoken only once. After each question, there will be a pause. During the pause, you must read the 4 choices marked A, B, C, and D, and decide which is the best answer. Then mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center.
Now let's begin with the 8 short conversations.
Question 11.
I can't believe the low mark I got on my last essay. It couldn't have been that bad.
Last week was so busy for you. I'm surprised you were even able to get it done on time.
Question. What does the woman imply? Question 12.
I have a complaint to make, sir. I waited 10 minutes at the table before the waiter showed up. When I finally got served, I found it was not what I ordered.
I'm terribly sorry, madam. It's a bit unusually busy tonight. As a compensation, your meal will be free.
Question. Where does the conversation probably take place?Question 13.
Does it bother you if I have the ball game on? I can use headphones if you like.
Actually, a little peace and quiet would be nice, at least until I finish this chapter.
Question. What does the woman imply?
Question 14.
I'm exhausted.I was up till 3 a.m. watching Romeo and Juliet. It was great.
Oh, I missed it. You should have called me. I'll take those old classics over modern movies any time.
Question. What does the woman mean?
Question 15.
Excuse me, can you tell me how to get to the library?
Well, do you know where Olympic Street is?
Question. What does the woman's question indicate?
Question 16.
Are you sure you can't recall the name of the book?
It's just on the tip of my tongue.
Question.What does the woman say about the book?
Question 17.
Henry is certainly the funniest person in class. He can always make everyone laugh.
I think I still have to get used to his sense of humor.
Question. What does the woman mean?Question 18.
Well, I have my first job interview on Monday. Have you had any luck with those letters of application you sent out?
It's still too soon to tell. Most of the application deadlines haven't even passed yet.
Question. What can be inferred about the man?
Now you'll hear the 2 long conversations. Conversation 1.
I'll go over to the recycling center this afternoon. Would you like me to take your old newspaper and paper bags along?
I do have a lot of papers and magazines down in the basement. Volunteers used to come by these apartments regularly to collect waste paper. I still save it. but people seldom ask for nowadays, and I've never gone over to the recycling center myself.
That's typical. A few years ago, people were really enthusiastic about reusing waste paper. Unfortunately, interests have been decreasing lately. Manufacturers now use waste paper for things like they need to find new commercial uses for recycled paper.
I suppose things like greeting cards, calendars, and writing paper could be made from it too. But recycled paper usually has a dingy color, doesn't it?
Well, it wouldn't be suitable for art books or high-quality magazine paper. But who cares about the drab color if the waste paper can take the place of the virgin woods pulp and so help to preserve forests?
You are right. I'll bring my waste paper over to your apartment a little while. Thanks for offering to take it.
Questions 19 to 22 are based on the conversation you've just heard. Question 19. Where is the woman going this afternoon? Question 20. According to the speakers, what products are now made from recycled paper? Question 21. What major benefit does the woman see to using waste paper? Question 22. What is the possible relationship between the two speakers?
Conversation 2.
Let's go in here and order some coffee while we look at your pictures.
Good idea. We'd both like coffee, please. Okay, here's one of Ed's, my roommate. I took this picture right after we had arrived at the school this fall. We had just met, in fact, and this was our room of the dormitory while we were unpacking all our things. What a mess.
You certainly had a lot of boxes. How did you ever find room for everything?
In the beginning, we thought we'd never get all arranged, but now we are very comfortable. Lucky for me, Ed keeps his things neat.
Do you like living in the dormitory?
It's not bad. Sometimes Ed turns his radio up too loud and makes too much noise. Then I get angry. Sometimes I leave my books lying around and he gets angry. But usually we get along. Here's a picture of him taken when we went to visit my family during vacation.
And this last one?
That's my dog, Spot. Questions 23 to 25 are based on the first conversation you just heard. Question 23. Who is Ed? Question 24. Why does the man sometimes get angry at Ed? Question 25. What did Ed do during vacation?
Section B. Directions. In this section, you will hear three short passages. At the end of each passage, you will hear some questions. Both the passage and the questions will be spoken only once. After you hear a question, you must choose the best answer from the four choices, marked A, B, C, and D. Then, mark the corresponding letter on answer sheet 2 with a single line through the center. Passage 1.
A credit card permits its holders to buy goods or obtain services without immediate payment. Possession of a card identifies the owner, who can obtain consumer credit. Each card has an account number, which is recorded by the seller. who sends it to his central billing office. The office calculates the total price of purchases by the cardholder during the month and sends him a bill. The buyer sends his check to the central office, which allocates the money to establishments extending credit. Credit cards were used in some American stores during the 1920s, but they did not gain wide acceptance. In 1938, rival American oil companies issued them to consumers and established a national pool to honor each company's card. This was the start of the credit card's popularity.
Questions 26 to 28 are based on the passage you've just heard. Question 26. What does a credit card permit its holders to do? Question 27. What does each credit card have? Question 28. What does a central billing office do?
Passage 2.
In Western culture, music is regarded as good by birth, and sounds that are welcome are said to be music to the ears. In some other cultures, for example, Islamic culture, it is of low value, associated with sin and evil. In the West and in the high cultures of Asia, it is said that there are three types of music. First, classical music, composed and performed by trained professionals, originally under the support of courts and religious establishments. Second, folk music, shared by the population at large and passed on orally. And third, popular music, performed by professionals, spread through radio, television, records, films, and print, and consumed by the urban mass public. Music is a major component in religious services, theater, and entertainment of all sorts. The most universal use of music is as a part of religious ritual. Another less obvious function of music is social adherence. Music also symbolizes military, patriotic, and funeral moods and events. In a more general sense, music may express the central social values of a society. In Western music, the interrelationship of conductor and orchestra symbolizes the need for strong cooperation among various kinds of specialists in a modern industrial society.
Questions 29 to 31 are based on the passage you've just heard. Question 29. In what culture is music regarded as good by birth? Question 30. Which of the following is performed by professionals? Question 31. According to the passage, what is the most universal use of music? Passage 3. William Shakespeare was christened in the market town of Stratford-on-Avon, Warwickshire, on April 26, 1564. Traditionally, his actual birthday was 3 days earlier on St. George's Day, the same day as his death 52 years later. His father, John, was a respected middle-class trader, and his mother, Mary Arden, came from a family of local landowners. It seems probable that young William received a fair education for his day at the local grammar school. At the age of 18, he married a girl 8 years older than himself, Anne Hathaway, who gave him a child the following year, and twins in 1585. Little else is known of his early life, And so we cannot tell what made him decide to leave Stratford in 1586 for London, where he stayed until 1611. In London, he must soon have attracted attention, because by 1592, he was a popular enough writer and actor to be laughed at by an older dramatist as an uneducated jack of all trades. He's mentioned as being among the principal actors of the city as early as 1598, and in 1599, we find that he is a member of the company running the Globe Theater, with one-tenth interest in the profits, showing a business sense rarely seen in his fellow writers. His popularity is indicated by the fact that not only were his own plays published under his name, which was a rare procedure in his day, but also plays by others are to be found attributed to him, as if to indicate that his name alone would promise a good sale.
Questions 32 to 35 are based on the passage you've just heard. Question 32. When did William Shakespeare die? Question 33. When did Shakespeare and his wife have their first child? Question 34. Which one can we infer from the article? Question 35. Which of the following is true? Section C. Directions. In this section, you will hear a passage three times. When the passage is read for the first time, you should listen carefully for its general idea. When the passage is read for the second time, you are required to fill in the blanks numbered from 36 to 43 with the exact words you have just heard. For blanks numbered from 44 to 46, you are required to fill in the missing information. For these blanks, you can either use the exact words you have just heard, or write down the main points in your own words. Finally, when the passage is read for the third time, you should check what you have written.
Recently, air travel is becoming more and more popular, and many large airports have now reached the limit of the number of aircraft movements they can handle. The problem is made worse by the size of many major cities, which prevents the extension of existing airports. Any new airports to be built a long way from city centers will create communication problems, and in many countries there simply isn't enough land for such developments. Now a new proposal has been put forward, which would help to relieve the congestion as far as short flights are concerned. This involves the use of smaller aircraft carrying about 50 passengers, which only require a short takeoff or landing area, and which make comparatively little noise because they are propeller-driven. The main problem remaining is the question of noise. There has been so much publicity in recent years regarding the high level of noise near airports that any government can expect to find considerable resistance to building new airports in towns, even though these short-range small planes are relatively quiet. The fact remains that increasing numbers of people want to travel by air and will accept somewhat slower flights if they can have the conveniences of an airport near the city center. In the end, it's a question of compromise between the travelers and the local inhabitants.
Now the passage will be read again. Recently, air travel is becoming more and more popular, and many large airports have now reached the limit of the number of aircraft movements they can handle. The problem is made worse by the size of many major cities, which prevents the extension of existing airports. Any new airports to be built a long way from city centers will create communication problems. And in many countries, there simply isn't enough land for such developments. Now, a new proposal has been put forward, which would help to relieve the congestion, as far as short flights are concerned. This involves the use of smaller aircraft, carrying about 50 passengers, which only require a short takeoff or landing area, and which make comparatively little noise because they are propeller-driven. The main problem remaining is the question of noise. There has been so much publicity in recent years regarding the high level of noise near airports. That any government can expect to find considerable resistance to building new airports in towns, even though these short-range small planes are relatively quiet. The fact remains that increasing numbers of people want to travel by air and will accept somewhat slower flights. If they can have the conveniences of an airport near the city center. In the end, it's a question of compromise between the travelers and the local inhabitants.
Now the passage will be read for the third time. Recently, air travel is becoming more and more popular, and many large airports have now reached the limit of the number of aircraft movements they can handle. The problem is made worse by the size of many major cities, which prevents the extension of existing airports. Any new airports to be built a long way from city centers will create communication problems, and in many countries there simply isn't enough land for such developments. Now a new proposal has been put forward, which would help to relieve the congestion, as far as short flights are concerned. This involves the use of smaller aircraft carrying about 50 passengers, which only require a short takeoff or landing area, and which make comparatively little noise because they are propeller-driven. The main problem remaining is the question of noise. There has been so much publicity in recent years regarding the high level of noise near airports that any government can expect to find considerable resistance to building new airports in towns, even though these short-range small planes are relatively quiet. The fact remains that increasing numbers of people want to travel by air and will accept somewhat slower flights if they can have the conveniences of an airport near the city center. In the end, it's a question of compromise between the travelers and the local inhabitants.